Welcome to our service here this morning. It's good to have you along with us here and to be praising God. Psalm 123, verse 1, Lord, I look up to you, up to heaven where you rule. This psalm is one of the psalms of ascent where the ancient Jews took part in a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and encouraged each other by repeating these psalms. This morning, as we meet together here or online, help us to encourage each other on our various journeys, because each of us needs us that partnership as we move along that journey.
Our reading is taken from Colossians chapter 1, reading verses 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Thank you, Noreen. So we continue this series in our book of Colossians, Paul's letter to one of the early churches in Colossae. Last week we looked through a number of things. We saw that the big themes of this book, the mega themes of this book, if you like, was the sufficiency and the supremacy of Jesus. That we find he is all sufficient, so we find all that we need in him. And we don't need to try to battle that or find that in ourselves, but we look to him for that. And that he is supreme, that he is the ultimate authority, Lord of lords and King of kings, that he indeed is the one who will reign supreme through all time. So just as we dig into this, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us, that our invitation for you to be amongst us by your Spirit is not that we negate that fact or that truth, but that we open our hearts, our minds, our lives, the very souls of our being to you today, to hear what you would have to say to us through your word. Living and active as it is, show us a fresh revelation of who you are, of what you have done for us, and how this relates to us today. Your word and not my words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Christmas has been and gone. Remember Christmas? All the fuss, all the bustle, all the running about. It's been and it's gone. And the Easter eggs are on the shelves. Cadbury's cream eggs reign supreme once again. Wonderful. But do you remember all the presents that you got for Christmas? Yeah. Some yes, some no, some maybe. I wonder if we started to list them. Because sometimes we get lots of tiny little things and we miss some of them. We not miss them, but we forget about them or we set them to the side. And we put them in a drawer and maybe they come out later on in the year. And if we're hoping for something else, we go, oh, why? Do you remember that? Whenever you go into a charity shop about March or April time, you'll find lots of unopened board games that have been given to somebody for Christmas and now are handed away because they've decided they're not going to open them or they're never going to play with them. And normally the same with a little bit of jigsaws. So those Christmas presents, we don't always remember all of them, but we will remember some of them because some of them were good. Often the problem is not that we are bad gift givers, but sometimes that we are bad gift askers. Does that make sense? So sometimes it's not that we are bad gift givers. It's not that we give bad gifts. Sometimes we just don't ask for the right things. I know sometimes, my birthday's coming up, so my girls have said to me, what would you like for your birthday, Dad? And I'm like, I don't really know. And they're like, well, that's not very helpful. That's really not very helpful. Because then I'm almost expecting them to purchase something that I'm going to like or I'm going to enjoy without actually asking them for something that I could use or that I actually might need. So they've got me thinking. So here, no, I'm not going to give you the list. But the same is true with prayer, isn't it, actually? It's not that God is a bad giver of answers to our prayers. It's that sometimes we are not good at asking in our prayers. And that's one of the things that Paul speaks of and tackles in this letter to the church at Colossae. We often don't ask for what we need. Often we ask for what it is that we want. So I don't ask for a new pair of socks, which is something that I will need. But I might ask for a dozen of Cadbury's cream eggs, which is something that I want, but may not need. You love it if you get heckled from the back, don't you? Huh? And sometimes it's exactly the same with our prayers. We need to learn how to ask God for the things that we need. And sometimes when we get a present that we wanted rather than what we needed, we feel cheated after a period of time because we still need the thing that we need. But we've got the thing that we want. And the thing that we want is now not the thing that we need, but we still need the thing that we need. But the thing that we want is now with us, but we realize that it wasn't really what we needed, it was what we wanted. And the cycle goes on and goes around. And sometimes we come to God in prayer and we ask Him for the things that we want. And then in a few weeks or months, we complain because we don't believe God has given us what it is that we need. I often ask, I often pray for myself and for others for good health. And I'm sure that may be part of your prayers. It's a very good thing to pray for. But sometimes in the praying for the good health, we neglect the learning in the fact that God is my helper, even in the midst of the suffering that I'm going through. And it's in these moments, whenever God is in the midst of our suffering, whenever He does not remove the storm that is around us, but He carries us through the storm, it's in those moments, whenever we are praying for the things that we need rather than the things that we want, that our perspective changes, our focus shifts. We shift our focus to the spiritual, to the things of the heavenly realms, rather than the physical, tangible things around us that seem to be overwhelming us and swamping us. And Paul urges us in this particular passage to notice the difference between focusing on oneself and focusing on God. He says in verse 9, "For this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray that this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Paul is praying for this church to have patience and endurance rather than simply the storms to be lifted from around them. That's shifting their perspective and their focus to the God who is all-sufficient, the God who is all-supreme, and the God who is present with them, even in the midst of the difficult times. Praying for one's self and for others should motivate us to see things through the eyes of God, through a different lens. a different lens for the situations around us, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Endurance, patience, joy. Not often you hear those three things in the same sentence, is it? That you might have great endurance, great patience, and bucket loads of joy. Because normally whenever we think we're having to be patient and endure something, we feel that we should be in a much more gloomy mood. We should be downcast. Our souls should be turned inwards. No, our souls should be turned outwards and upwards towards the living God, who gives us, even in the moment of endurance and of patience, of trials and of suffering, he gives us a joy that is different from the worldly understanding of joy, which is, hey, look at me, I'm all happy. To, I know God is with me. And because God is with me, I can see through this. And a different joy, a different step, a different gate is within our frame then. We see things through a different lens. That's why we need to note the sufficiency, the all-sufficiency of God in this passage. Verse 9, he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Have not stopped praying for you. But why? That God might give you, fill you with the knowledge of his will through wisdom and understanding. Why? Verse 10, so that you might bear fruit. In other words, so that you might grow in him. I don't know if you've ever tried to grow a fruit tree in your garden. Hands up if you have. A few people. Hands up if you've been successful. Okay, so a few people are going, a few people are going, and other people are going, growing stuff in the garden. Sure, you just cut the grass, that's all you have to do. But we all have different kind of green fingers, don't we? I remember my father grew a pear tree from a seed, from a pear that he'd eaten, in a little bucket, and then planted the bucket, planted the little sapling into the garden. And this pear tree grew and grew and grew. And every year, there was apples came on the apple trees. There was raspberries came in the canes. There was gooseberries came in the bushes. Nothing ever came in the pear tree. Never bore fruit. Every year, he would look at it patiently. He would talk to it. He would gaze at it. He would feed it. He would prune it. He would do all the things that you've been told to do to make it bear fruit. And it didn't bear fruit. Ironically, until the season after he had died. And the first pear appeared on the tree. We are to bear fruit. We bear fruit because we mature. We bear fruit because we mature, because we grow. We put down roots because we have patience and endurance, because we see through the storms of life. We see through to the end of whatever it is that's coming in order that the fruit will be born within us, through us, and other people will be helped by it. Verse 11 talks about having strength and power according to his glorious might. Not my might, not your might, not what you can do or what I can do, but through him. Listen to those words. But may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks. Verse 12 tells us the reason why, because the Father has qualified us to receive an inheritance that can only come from him. And all these other things that we gather around us, these things that we want but don't always need, is not the inheritance that we are to claim. The inheritance that we are to claim is that we are sons and daughters of the all-sufficient and all-supreme living God. And that as sons and daughters, we have a new step, a new focus, a new way of seeing things. And an inheritance to claim and to step into. And that only happens because, as he says in verse 13, we are rescued from the dominion of darkness. Whenever we give our lives to Jesus, we are rescued from darkness and we are set into a place of light and newness, a new creation. Because we've been redeemed, he finishes in verse 14. We've been redeemed by the forgiveness of our sins. That's amazing news. I mean, that is like hallelujah kind of news. Like, it is. You've been redeemed. Redeemed means you've been made right. You've been forgiven of your sins. You have the inheritance that comes from the living God, the one who said, let there be light, and there was, the one who stepped into time, who saved us through his death on a cross, the one who created all of these miracles, the one who stands with us through the storms. That's the inheritance that we can claim. That's the inheritance that Paul is encouraging this church in Colossae to focus on and to see, because as we will see, whenever we travel through the rest of this book, he starts to chastise them for the things that they're doing wrong. He's pulling them back from the parapet, and he's saying, hold on a minute. I've already outlined to you and set out in the introduction. Remember we spoke last week, don't skip the introduction. You wouldn't skip it of a novel at home. Don't skip this one. I've already set it out in the introduction, why and the purpose for your existence, why you're a church in the first place. And the same is true for us today. Then being human, some stage this week I'd probably end up praying for things that I want again and not the things that I need. And I'll have to reorientate myself back to this passage that I stood in front of you and taught from today and say, James, you need to listen to your own words. If I prayed like Paul prayed, how would that change my life? If you prayed like Paul, how would that change your life? Paul talks a lot about, in different connotations in this particular passage, about knowledge and wisdom, about receiving knowledge and wisdom from Jesus, from the Savior, about knowledge and wisdom from him being all-sufficient and all-supreme. He does that because we'll see later on there are false teachers have come into this early church and are claiming that knowledge and wisdom comes from them alone and from inside of ourselves. And Paul wants to put all of that into perspective in the introduction to his letter and saying, look, all knowledge and all wisdom, everything that you need to understand and to know comes from God. As we'll see later on, where to paraphrase in good Northern Irish terms, what he says later on, he'll say, hide your waist and start to listen a wee bit to what the Holy Spirit might have to say to you. But we'll come to that on a different week. And it's in this framework that our prayers are to be formed and shaped. Today, this week, this month, and into the future. And maybe this week, here's the challenge for us. Maybe this week, we could take this particular passage, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through to 14. We could take this particular passage, these verses, and we could pray them over someone that we know. We could pray them for someone that we know, that they would know all wisdom and knowledge that could come from the Father in their life, that they would receive what it is that they need rather than simply want, that they would be all sufficient and see things through a different lens and focus on him rather than be swamped by the things around them. By stepping out and stepping up, it means that we take personal responsibility for our own relationship and discipleship and maturity in Jesus. And that's what Paul will urge us to do through the rest of this letter. Take responsibility for our own relationship with Jesus. And how we pray and what we pray for is a good indicator of where we stand with him, preacher included. Let's take these verses and let's pray them in this moment. going to quietly conclude this part by simply reading these verses. As we read them, as we pause at certain points, I would love you to pray it with me for yourself and for other people. So let's pray. For this reason, Father, since the day that I heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Asking that God would fill you with all knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, we pray this in order that you might live a life worthy of the Lord. Pleasing him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. That we might be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you might have endurance, and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Because he's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, in whom we have the redemption and forgiveness of our sins. We pray these things in and through the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We conclude today with some words from the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to a different church, chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power as it works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.